What's this? A cougar and a ute sharing the same podcast? That can only mean you're listening to State of Sports Utah with Jason Stoll and Jake Lukler.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the State of Sports Utah podcast. My name is Jake, and I'm here with the immaculate Jason Stoll.
Wow, the immaculate. That I have been called the nicest things this week. Royal Army calling master of helmets, and now you call me immaculate? I mean, this is...
Well, incompetent just didn't seem very nice, so...
Man, Jake is bringing the pain and the... I don't know, compliments.
The sweet and the sour.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, bringing the sweet and the sour. I got to admit, Jason, I'm in a pretty good mood, and I think you are too.
Why? I can't even imagine why, Jake. I mean, did something like good happen for you this weekend? I don't know.
You know, as a matter of fact, Jason, something good did happen, but we're going to talk about that. I just want to point out that it always feels better to record a podcast coming off a win. Can we just agree to that? That it just feels better. It just hits different.
Oh, I mean the timing of we spaced this out perfectly. I don't have to really talk about a loss after a loss. This is fantastic. It was perfect timing. You are correct.
Oh yeah, you know.
I mean, let's be honest though, what does not feel great to talk about after a win? I mean, life is just
that's
better.
That's true.
Like
life is better.
We subbed in nursery after the loss, and I didn't sub in nursery, but I sat in nursery after the win. And I gotta say, I mean, nursery was so much better after the win. So,
yep, the grass is greener, the food is a little bit sweeter, and the birds sing a little bit better on tune. You know, just the sun shines brighter when your team has won. So speaking of which, Jason, before we go on to, you know, talking about the coming weeks, let's do a quick review of, you know, what we just experienced in the last 2 weeks, right? So as far as Utah is concerned, Utah is 6-1, baby. We are bowl eligible. Woohoo! We had both first a home game against the University of California. We had our highest offensive output. They put Bryson Barnes back in at quarterback, which seemed to be the right move. They completed the transition over the bye week from Sione Vaki into his two-way player, both starting safety and kind of a wildcat running back hybrid, and he showed out. Gave us a nice little taste. But things really didn't get going. We didn't really see what this team could fully be capable of until we went to this last week against USC and in the Coliseum, where once again our best offensive output. And Jason, I don't know if you remember when we were doing our predictions last time. I said to myself, the only way I could see Utah winning this game is if there's a massive shift on the offense. Well, a massive shift has occurred. The clouds parted, and Utah went down for a fourth time in a row and beat USC a third time in a row against the reigning Heisman winner, Mr. Crybaby Caleb Williams, and Mr. I'm the next Nick Saban in Lincoln Riley.
Money bags, all that stuff, and they couldn't get it done.
Clout versus culture. And what do you know? Culture wins out.
Would you look at that?
Yep. So I'm on a pretty... That's another ranked win in the slot, making Utah bowl eligible, 6-1. Our hunt for you know, the conference championship, for even the playoffs potentially. I'm not holding my breath for that, for that ambitious, but you know, the hunt continues for, and I'm on top of the world about it.
Hey, and I mean, as you should be, anytime you can pick up, you know, a win versus a storied program is huge. That was
absolutely,
you know, that was a highly watched game. It provided ample amounts of excitement. I mean, honestly, regardless of who you were cheering for, like I couldn't help but just tip my hat to Bryson Barnes. Like his performance was incredible. It was nothing short of gritty and gutsy, and
shout out to Pig Boy 16.
Exactly. Like, seriously, putting rivalry stuff aside, like, how great is college football that you can take somebody from a no-name city in the middle of Utah who's a pig farmer and put him on a call, like on a football field, and have him out-duel a Heisman quarterback? That is the epitome of college football. That is what makes it great, is these kids that put their hearts and soul on the line, and we get games like that.
In their body,
right. Like, it's so yeah, I mean, like, we won't get into it, but a little bit of kind of like a spit in the face of like where college football is trying to be, which is what USC does. That's what people want college football to be. They want the USCs of the world, these teams that have this quote unquote giant brand and huge following. Guess what? They don't. But you know, huge brand and all this money that they can throw out at players, and it didn't beat what is the heart and soul of college football, and that is college kids getting an opportunity to put their literal soul on the line in these games. And
again,
it was awesome.
Clout versus culture, man.
Yeah,
it really is. It's the dichotomy. And that's what I've really appreciated about specifically the matchups between USC and Utah these last 2 years, because it really is. It is a, you know, it's substance versus shine.
Yeah,
you know, it's really what it is.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, like, from a BYU fan, seriously, hats off to those guys. And you found yourself almost like it's different, but it's also kind of the same. But you found yourself like a Taysom Hill kind of player. Like, Vaki just gets it done, man. Like, he just does stuff, and he just plays football, and it's fun to see too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you say Taysom Hill, I say Eric Weddle. You
know, there you go.
I mean, hey, they're all cut from the same kind of cloth. That gritty.
They're
I
a
do
football player.
Yeah, you're not a position player, you were a football player. You'll do what it takes to make the team win and to be a part of it.
Well, to kind of, I mean, transition to BYU, I just don't have a lot to say on the loss to TCU. The only thing I will say is, do you want to let's look a little deeper at this kind of circle of weird that is conference play, right? So BYU gets blown out by TCU, okay? TCU then proceeds to get blown out 41-3 versus Kansas State. All right?
Yeah.
Well, Kansas State scraped together a two-possession win versus Texas Tech, whom BYU just beat. Same margin of about the same margin of victory. But they lost to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State. Iowa State, guess who they beat? TCU.
Cincinnati. Oh, TCU.
Yeah.
There we go.
So it's just this, I mean, it's just, I just thought,
Jason,
that was a little.
You know what we call that in the Pac-12?
The circle of suck.
Yep, the circle of suck.
I just.
Where the conference cannibalizes itself.
Right. I just thought that was,
you know,
that
just
was
this
kind of
weird configuration of conflicting rock, paper, scissors matchups that just doesn't make any sense, and no one's allowed to rise to the top.
And you know, that in a year where, like, I really hoped that some of these other teams would kind of put up a fight, it's actually kind of turned into this everyone cannibalizes except Texas and Oklahoma. You know, they're kind of sitting on top and are poised for, you know, massive seasons, championship, you know, aspirations still on the line for both teams. Yeah. So, yeah, some big games coming up, but like I think I kind of had to laugh, and maybe it's just, again, it's just kind of like an aging thing, but like sitting in that stadium with like my wife, my 2-year-old son who's like going crazy, chanting BYU, loving eating the cougar tail, all this stuff, just having a blast, and you know, with my brother and my parents, and just like sitting and enjoying a game. I don't know if that perspective like tilted how I viewed that game, but there were a lot of fans that were unhappy with how the Texas Tech game kind of finished, like the second half, particularly with the offense. But guys, we're 5-2. We got a win versus, you know, a Texas Tech team that like isn't necessarily gonna go crazy this season, but they're a true Power 5 opponent from the conference, you know, not a newbie in Cincinnati, but we got our first win versus a like an original sort of Big 12 team,
a core Big 12 team.
Exactly. So and I like genuinely, I think at the beginning of the season, if you sat down most rational fans and said, hey, you're going to be 5-2 to start the season, like every single one of us would have taken that. And that's where we are. That was a huge win for us on Saturday. And like, honestly, it like BYU's kind of taken a page out of Utah's book, you know, force a bunch of turnovers, really lean heavily on your defense. And
well, that's Jay Hill for you.
And your offense can just kind of, you know, get the job done. And they did enough to win that game.
Limp to the finish line.
And it was 27-7 with 8.5 minutes left in that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
27-7. Every possession, BYU's going to be running the ball and trying to bleed out the clock and play possession ball. And I think that you can't do that with Oklahoma. You can't do that with Texas. But these other Big 12 teams, like, I have no problem with them doing that. And they needed to do that. And it was good to see as they, you know, they had some 3-and-outs. They punted a lot in that second half. But we got the ball 14-27 with 7 minutes left, 7.5 minutes left. And BYU bled the clock down. They got 2 or 3 first downs and through the run game. And guess what? Since they, like, there was no time left, and Tech, you know, it didn't matter that they got the ball back with, you know, 19 seconds left in the game. So I was really happy. I mean, genuinely, I was really pleased with how the game turned out. I thought it was a fun game. Maybe I'm crazy because I like defense, but man, yeah.
I mean, it's just not as sexy or as, like, it doesn't have that, like, ultra ecstatical feel that offense.
Well, and even,
you know, there's less,
even a step further, I would say that it's not traditional BYU. Traditional BYU, fair. and I heard on the Zone, one of the guys specifically saying this, that he wanted against Texas, and probably BYU needs to do this, but he wanted to see like a Ty Detmer type line where it's like throw for 50 passes and, you know, with 4 interceptions and stuff, but like let Keaton go crazy in the pass game. And like, I mean, against Texas, like maybe that is the move, but I don't know, just sitting there watching that game, like I was very content with the way that BYU approached that game, and it was fun. I had fun at that game. It was great. So I don't know if y'all are hating on that game or like hating on BYU or the offense as a whole, like but this is our first year in a Power 5 and we're one win away from bowl eligible. I don't genuinely, I don't know what more you could ask for. So
Yeah. And Jason, just to kind of give some kudos back, since you gave some kudos to Utah, I feel the need to, you know, to give some back. And here's what I'll say is BYU is going beyond what I as a Utah fan expected of them. And you know me, I'm not the most like, oh, I hope they go, you know, winless. I'm not that kind of fan. I'm not that kind of Utah fan, right? But I mean, I said if you guys go 6-6, you'll be lucky. You know, you should count your blessings if you go 6-6, because I think you'll finish I think it's very possible you could not go to a bowl game. You know, but it wasn't impossible. But anyways, compared to the other three new Big 12 additions, BYU is by far the best out of the four adds. Cincinnati is 0-4 in conference play. They have two wins this season. UCF, 0-4 in conference, three wins this season. Houston, same thing, three wins. They do have a legacy win against West Virginia, but it was by 2 points.
On the Hail Mary.
And, yeah, on a Hail Mary. So, you know, kudos to Houston for also getting a legacy, you know, Big 12 win. But by far, BYU sitting at 5-2. They're the only one of the new additions with a winning record. They're the only one who's not, in the negative on conference wins. You know, they're 2-2 in conference play. They're right in they're right smack in the middle of, you know, of the conference. And frankly, that's an excellent spot to be for your first year. I mean, looking at the slate of games, I won't say, you know, your ceiling's 10-2, you know, 10-2 or anything, but I mean frankly, at this point, 6-6 is your floor. You know, I cannot see BYU not going on a 7-game losing streak. A 5-game losing streak. I just can't at this point. I just don't see that happening. Right? And so kudos to BYU for that. Kudos to them, because this is a hard transition. It really is. And I mean, especially with playing both Texas and Oklahoma coming up, playing Kansas on the road, you know, those, and playing Arkansas on the road. That was a huge win. And that's, I mean, you know, definitely surpassed my expectation of them in that regard. But, you know, BYU fans should be very proud of this team. They have exceeded expectations as far as I see them, right? At least to any realistic person, I think they have exceeded expectations at this point.
Well, thanks, man. 5-2 is very respectable. That's great to hear, especially, I mean, we've talked about it, but from a Utah fan's perspective, that's, you know, experienced what BYU is, you know, going through this season. So,
yeah.
No, that is super nice to hear. So I thought we'd maybe highlight just a couple players that we felt like deserved a little bit of a shout out that have performed,
yep,
you know, really well so far this season. My first shout out, and it's kind of, I guess it'll be technically, I'll do two, but these guys have stepped up big time in the absence of Ben Bywater. You know, they yeah, losing your key linebacker position, where I feel like Jay Hill's defense really kind of relies heavily on your linebackers to kind of fill some of that space. The two guys that have, I feel like, stepped up in a massive way are Max Tooley and AJ Vongpachon. Like, both of those guys have been absolute monsters. A combined 96 total tackles between those two guys. They've been all over the field. In that Texas Tech game, AJ had just, it just felt like every single play he was smacking somebody, whether it was a lineman, whether it was the guy with the ball, he just was just completely on point and had one of those guys that I feel like is 100% effort, which I love to see when guys are, I mean, flying all over the field, right? It's kind of a silly preseason point, but genuinely, that I have been super impressed with those two guys. There hasn't been a lot of positive in the rushing game.
Yeah.
But LJ Martin is coming in as a freshman, having an offensive line who couldn't block for like an NFL caliber player last year in Chris Brooks. We've kind of seen what he's been able to do in some limited snaps with the Dolphins, and he's been going crazy and doing very, very well. But LJ Martin's come in and has 438 rushing yards on the season as a freshman with pretty limited offensive line play, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He got the game started against Texas Tech with that 55-yard, you know, massive rush. Yeah, so like I feel like he deserves a shout out as a freshman coming in and mm-hmm. you know, making something happen. He's been like the one sort of positive and has had these really bright moments and flashes of his, you know, potential as he continues to age and develop, and he's going to be fun to watch for several years. And then, man, I know people hate to talk about the punt game, but Rico, man, it is a game changer. You know, I've talked about BYU playing like this sort of possession game, and that's all because of Ryan Rico. There have been, you know, a bunch of fumbled or bobbled punt receptions by the opposing team, because every time he punts, it just feels like they have to go drop further and further back. I don't know why guys that are fielding his punts aren't standing back far enough to begin with, but he legitimately had a ball that traveled 80 yards in the air. Bad coverage on the return, and they got it to like the 50-yard line, so he didn't get that full credit for that punt. But genuinely, he's been a massive weapon. BYU's been able to go a little bit more conservative and play some of that rely on your defense field position game because of the asset that he is to the team. So, man, we could have a lot more losses on, you know, our column, I truly believe, without him back there punting for us. So he should absolutely win the Ray Guy. He's fantastic. He's been great this season.
I would debate that. I think there's another Ray Guy contender in this state that I would argue is doing just as good, if not a better job. Might be an Aussie, as a matter of fact, but you know, the more you talk about BYU's play this year, and the more I'm just like, dang, this sounds like a Utah team. It's like, you're talking up your punter, you're relying on your defense while you're offense staggers. I mean, what's more Utah than that? You're hyping up the punter and praising your defense. Oh my gosh. That is the most Utah thing I could think of.
There you go. Well, speaking of Utah, let's
you're right, let's Jason. I gotta highlight some of Utah's players. Because there's so many that I want to shout out here, but I'll just do it real quick. First off, Cole Bishop. Right? Mm-hmm. Cole Bishop, but one of the best safeties in the Pac-12, in the nation. You know, we didn't have him for the first half of the USC game, and you know, because of a absolutely bogus, you know, targeting call the week before. And you know, when he got in the USC game, not that the defense didn't do great, it still wasn't great without him, but you could tell he just had that shot of energy and adrenaline that he just gave the rest of the defense. Just that second half, you could just tell that it was there. And you know, he's a stellar player. He's been the difference maker in a lot of the games so far. Next up, Jonah Ellis. I just got one thing to say about Jonah Ellis. He is currently leading the entire nation in sacks. So that's all I'll say about that, because that's all I need to say. You know, it's the only argument I need. Next up, Jaquindon Jackson, man. The difference Jaquindon Jackson has made to this team. He has played in 6 of the 7 games. Jason, can you take a guess which game he did not play in?
The loss.
Yes, he did not play even a single snap in Oregon State. And it showed, right? He is, you know, he doesn't have a lot of touchdowns on the year. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think he has 2. But he is the workhorse of this offense. He is the one that gets them the yardage that gets them down the field, right? He may not have, you know, he just hasn't been the one they go to in the end zone, but they haven't asked him to either, right? And for that reason, he hasn't gotten nearly as much credit. He is a baller. He is a battering ram, a bulldozer, and one of the keys of this offense. He is what makes the wheels turn. And then finally, I mean, what can I say about, the real deal that Travis Hunter wishes he could be, Sione Vaki, man. He has a killer true freshman year last year after coming off a church mission. He then, you know, starts as a safety this year. And then when we need him most and we need, you know, kind of a spark on offense because of our running back room is depleted, he pulls out the old high school skill set. And, I mean, he just becomes the true spark of the offense. It's now, you know, it's, I mean, really, kudos to the offensive coordinator, Andy Ludwig, because I've never seen a Utah offense like this before. You know, what they're doing with Vaki and Jackson and Barnes, what the three of them are, you know, kind of doing, and just the tweaks that they're putting on, you know, just Utah's normal offense, inserting kind of a wildcat, inserting kind of a wrinkle with Jaquindon Jackson in it as well. I mean, it's creative, right? And Sione Vaki's skill set is just has been on full display the last couple of games, and I am just so pumped to see what this offense can do. Because with Sione Vaki in there, suddenly everything else is clicking. The rest of the receivers are getting open. You know, it's just, it's, I don't know what it is. It's that X factor that he's providing or something. It's that spark. It's that, you know, it's that juice. It's that something that we just haven't had, until he got put in as, you know, kind of the safety running back hybrid that he's turned into, right? Now, Jason, all these players are really great, and we could talk about them individually, but the best thing about these players is they create really great moments. And so, I know we're not in the exact middle of the season anymore. We've kind of unfortunately we're a little bit past that, but while we're still here in the mid-season, why don't we talk about, give a couple of really good moments, our favorite moments that we've experienced in the season so far. Because I think with, you know, what we haven't done this season is really taken a step back and just appreciated some of the bigger moments that college football brings us. The things that make college football just the best thing in the world. The reason we get up out of bed. The reason why fall is the greatest time of the year.
Well, and I have a feeling you're going to start us off hot with literally the very first play of the season, eh?
You know what, Jason? I'm glad you bring that up. So, I love doing callbacks because at the very beginning of our season here, I said we had the question, if you could win only 3 games this season, which 3 games would you pick? I don't remember what your picks were, Jason, but I remember what mine were. And I picked Florida, Baylor, and USC. Now, I am now fortunate enough to be sitting here at the end of week 8 with all 3 of those games with a W, right? And so I figured what better way to celebrate that than to take these favorite moments and just highlight a moment from each of those games. So as you mentioned, there's the Florida game. And never in my entire life has Utah, on the first offensive possession of a game, of a season, had a touchdown. Have that be the outcome of the first play on the first drive of the first game of a season. At least on offense. On defense, I'm pretty sure it's happened pick six or something. I don't know. It could have happened. But far less likely that it's ever happened on offense. And boy, oh boy, did Bryson Barnes, pig boy 16 himself, the Baconator, the king of hogs, come out clutch on the opening play and throw a 70-yard bomb over the middle to Money Parks for a touchdown. And let me tell you, I've heard some loud moments, and that's definitely up there as some loud Rice-Eccles Stadium moments. It set the season off right. It was the perfect welcome back to college football. It's the best welcome back to college football that I've ever had, and possibly will ever have. Now, instead of me just going through all mine, Jason, what do you say we go back and forth?
I like it.
Yeah, so why don't you give me one of yours?
So, I have two from the Arkansas game. Okay. Going on the road, I mean, getting that win versus Arkansas, even though they've had a rough season and have played every single game, like down to the last possession. Poor Arkansas, man. Rough season.
Big losing streak right now.
Anyway, the momentum shifting halfback pass was huge. Like, you could genuinely in that stadium, like I could feel it on the TV, just like kind of the air rush out of the stadium, right, and that momentum shift. So for BYU to start the way they did, but then bounce back and have that sort of gadget trick play end up that wide open, like, it was such a key momentum builder, and we were like freaking out watching it. So yeah, that was super fun. So that's my first one.
Right. Why don't you give your other one, and you know, because that way it's
jump back. Okay. Yeah. So my other one, has to be the one-handed Chase Roberts go-ahead touchdown. It's recency bias is so tough. Easily top five best BYU catch ever. I mean, arguably, just purely based on, you know, the catch, like how the catch is, not the circumstances around the catch. I mean, it was
the quality of the catch was so good in a vacuum.
Right, yeah. It was so good. That, we've been spoiled seeing that, and then the Puka Nacua catch from last season, the toe tap versus Boise State.
All right, the Boise State one.
It's just so good. So that catch.
Yeah, you guys have been a little spoiled with those kind of miracle catches.
Yeah,
huh?
That catch I had to shout out. I know it's an obvious one, but man, it was good.
Hey, some obvious moments are obvious, Jason, and there's nothing wrong with that.
They're obvious for a reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, these are our favorite moments, and it's okay to be a little cliche. It's okay to be predictable, man.
There you go.
So, as I said, I'm highlighting from Baylor, Florida, and USC. I already did Florida, so now I'm moving on to Baylor, and I'm kind of cheating. It's not a moment per se, but it kind of felt like a continual moment, right? So Baylor wasn't going great. We were down. You know, the offense just isn't clicking. Bryson, you know, doesn't have it that particular game. And so they swap out for Nate Johnson, you know, the redshirt freshman. We saw flashes of him the previous season. And he just lights a spark on the offense. And, you know, all of a sudden everything starts to work again. And they're able to scrape together, you know, two back-to-back scoring drives, are able to put the Baylor game away. And just kind of that comeback victory, that spark that he was able to provide. I know that's cheating, but frankly, you know, I created the segment. I'm creating the rules, so I'm going to bend them. You know, it's my game. I can, you know, I'll take my ball and go home if you don't like it. But, you know, just that moment was really satisfying. I mean, for the three quarters of the game, we were losing, and we deserved to lose. But that, you know, that fourth quarter when it was Nate Johnson's game and you know, and what he was able to do running that offense for that quarter, I will always remember that. Especially because we're going into the Big 12 next year. That was our first Big 12 victory. You know, that's a snapshot of what potentially what the Big 12 is going to be like for Utah. You know, it's a they play a more similar type of ball to us than the Pac-12 does. You know, it's probably a lot less high scoring and, you know, a lot more defensive play. And, you know, so I'm always going to remember that. It's something, you know, it's a comeback, you know, it's a long moment, but it's a moment I won't forget. And finally, Jason, I'm bringing it back to Sione Vaki against USC. He had this amazing catch, takes five steps, the sharpest turn on a dime cut I have ever seen.
Like a basketball move, just totally crossover.
Yup. Goes from a full sprint to a dead stop to a complete reversal with the entire USC secondary chasing him into the end zone for like a 25-yard reception touchdown. I mean, it was incredible. It wasn't just the fact that, like, that's when Utah was able to take the lead on the game, but that's, I mean, just this display of pure athleticism in that moment and just, I mean, that's ingenuity on Vaki's part. That's, you know, it was a perfect pass from Barnes, which, you know, I mean, it really kind of proved, and shout out to him, that he could make that pass being the third string quarterback this year. And, you know, that got benched midway through the season and then was asked to come back, you know. And so, I mean, just what that moment was and just that play specifically, I mean, those defenders are going to be having nightmares about Sione Vaki.
Trying to tackle him in the open field.
Yes, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, how Alex Grinch has a job after that game and after the display, I'll never know. But yeah, those are definitely my some three of the better highlights of this season that I just couldn't go without shouting out.
There you go. Well, I'm taking a page out of your book because I had something written down here, but I'm going to also capture a moment, if you will, but a broader spectrum moment.
A broader moment. Kay. That's fine.
So, take me back to last year. BYU goes to Las Vegas and takes on Notre Dame. Okay. Rough first half. They kind of make their way back a little bit, get some momentum, and then are shut down on a fourth down play, and BYU ends up losing that game by a score.
Yeah.
Follow that game up by a pretty, like, the offense kept up, but just a beat down by Arkansas at home, middle of the day, rough stretch. Go on to lose at Liberty, 41-14, one of the worst losses in recent memory. It was so bad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then you come home and lose to Eastern Carolina. It just was
the winless October. I remember this
continuous sort of spiral that BYU got into. BYU could have done that. BYU got smacked by TCU. Smacked.
Oh, there was
nothing going on, and I was really interested to see how this team was going to respond and bounce back, you know, the defense and the offense, and and if they were going to, you know, try and avoid, you know, that spiral. They could have come home and easily folded, but they didn't. And so, like, I'm proud of the guys for coming out and getting that win versus Tech.
Yeah.
Specific play, the only one that could rival Chase Roberts' one-handed catch. The one-handed catch from Darius was insane because of the vertical stretch that he had to do. He hung in the air. That was one of the best catches I've seen, like, live in person. It was crazy. It was such a good sideline catch. Slight touch with the offhand as he came down. Maybe knocks it down from the Chase Roberts one, but he didn't even need it. It was like he came in, he touched, but he just like rolled through it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Great play. So just some fun times, man. 6-1, 5-2. We don't have much to complain about right now. But
no, not really.
You know, Jake, every week's a grind. Yes, you know it. I know it. Tough games are ahead for both teams.
Oh,
so
yes.
I I mean, looking ahead for both teams, so BYU travels to Texas.
Ooh, to Austin. Oh, boy.
A top-ranked team.
Yep.
Road game, rough environment, Texas talented team.
Eight.
Eight or nine.
I can't remember where they're ranked. Yeah.
And it's going to be rough, and Utah, not to be overshadowed one bit, has to take on Oregon. They get that
also a top 10 team.
They get them at home, yep. Which is beneficial, but you know, rough games for both. And then, I mean, man, kind of, it's like similar weeks for us, because you go from giant opponents to BYU at West Virginia and Utah versus Arizona State, and I feel like both of those teams are a little pesky, you know? Like, those are not going to be gimme walk-through games.
They hang around.
Arizona State's hung with both USC and Washington. They had that Washington game. Washington game. Pick six in at the goal line is pretty rough to overcome, but both. So yeah, I mean, like I said, every week in conference play is a grind. So let us give our predictions here.
Now, Jason, I think you're forgetting.
No, I don't think I am. I don't.
Really? Because I think you're forgetting that we need to review and score our previous predictions, Jason. Now, pray tell, why do you not want to do it? Why did you seemingly forget that? Could that be... You lost big time this week.
I did. Woohoo! I did. I got smacked.
Oh yeah. So let's go through it, shall we?
Okay. Sure.
Well, first off, you and I both predicted BYU would beat TCU. We did, and we both had different ideas of what the game would be, but we both predicted a win, and so no points were scored there. Obviously. You, however, Jason, predicted Utah would lose to California. And I predicted they would win. So by default, I win.
You take the risks to pick up some points, and that's what happens, man.
Yep. And so that's a point for me. Then BYU versus Texas Tech. We both predicted a win, and that's what happened. So we got to get into the score. You said 35-32. I said 31-28. The actual score was 27-14.
I think nobody gets a point on that one.
I don't think that's true, because was closer that it would be a lower scoring game than you predicted.
But we both have the same point differential. But the point spread was barely, though. And it wasn't like Texas Tech's score was super close to what you predicted.
I'm just saying, I did get
this
close.
This is a wash. 100%. No, this is a wash. Not. A 3-point spread when the game ended the way it did. 100% a wash. 100%.
No way. I got this one.
No way.
You just don't want to be down 3 points.
No way.
All right, fine.
That is totally a wash.
I should get the point, but I won't take
it. No, give me your score again. Give me your score.
I said 31-28.
And what? How many did Texas Tech score?
14.
That is, however, there is no shot when I we got both closer. Had the point spread differential of three,
you took the over, and I had the under.
Three lower points. No shot.
Yes.
No shot.
Again, I should get this. But I won't take
if
the point.
If a listener is listening and chimes in on this and gives an opinion, we'll consider it. But there's no shot. When you predicted 28 was the lowest point scored and Tech scored 14. Yeah. That is a huge difference that you do not deserve to get.
I got closer.
But we've done washes closer. Before. We've had previous scores that we have just washed and counted as nothing because the point spread was so much different.
Mm-hmm.
We have 100%.
Again, Jason, I should get the point, but I won't take it because putting you down 3 points would demoralize you and it would just make it too easy.
Okay.
So I'm up by 2 points on the season, and I accept that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to listen.
And then
if we have multiple
people, we both predicted
people,
Utah would lose to USC, so no point there.
If we have multiple people that say that and no bot accounts, Jake. Don't you be going in there commenting, yeah, Jake should get this.
Whoa, why on earth would you accuse me of that? I don't run bot accounts. That's stupid. I can't believe you would accuse me of that, Jason. I'm offended. How about you?
I'm protecting my dignity, man. There is no way when Tech scored 14 points and we had the same exact spread, minus 3 points, that you deserve to get those points. No shot. No shot.
Yeah.
We need to reevaluate our scoring method.
Well, feel free to come up to do an investigative study and prove to me why this doesn't work.
I mean, I'm just bad at predicting scores. I have no idea what people are going to score, dude. No shot. And you know what? I'm going to predict Utah beats Oregon and they're going to get like smacked. That's what's bound to happen. That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's just like fantasy. I pick the guy that I think is going to score a lot of points, and then the guy I replace him with on the bench scores all the points, man. I'm just bad.
I actually did really great in fantasy this weekend.
Dude, you're killing it this year.
Yeah. I'm not doing so bad.
Not so bad. All right, so let's get into these score predictions, because we're running up on...
We've waited way too much time.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
For those of you listening on double speed, you're welcome for giving you an even longer podcast. Instead of 15 minutes, now it's a half hour of content for you to listen to us talk like chipmunks.
Oh, yeah.
All right. BYU at Texas. It kills me. I hope that the ghost, even though he's alive, the ghost of Taysom Hill... comes and is with the team as we travel into probably the toughest opponent we've faced in... it's been a long time, guys. It's a tough team. I'm going to say it's a loss, and I'm going 50-20. It could be a little lower scoring than that on both sides. Kind of similar, more similar to how the TCU game goes. But if BYU wins this game, I will be over the moon and I will be completely shocked. spread's sitting at about 17, 18 points. And I think that gets covered pretty easily. So
You're predicting 50-20?
Yeah.
Is that that's your loss score?
Yeah.
Well, Jason, because I'm better at this than you, I'm gonna give BYU a little bit more credit. I'm gonna go 42-17.
Look at you trying to play that spread. Look at you.
Oh yeah.
Just lower points, but same spread.
Yeah. It's not the same spread.
It's pretty much the same.
No, you have a 30-point spread. I have a 25-point spread.
Oh,
there's a difference.
There we go.
Ask USC. 5 points is a lot.
Ooh, that was good. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you have a little more optimism than I do. Dude, I have genuinely no idea what to put on this, Oregon-Utah game. It's tough to play at Utah, but Oregon's done pretty good at Utah, haven't they?
More so than other teams, I feel like. Washington and Oregon are really the only two teams in the pack that have had consistent enough, or they've had better than most luck at Rice-Eccles. They've, out of really anybody who plays there consistently, they've had the better luck of anybody. I struggle with this one because game day is coming to Salt Lake City for this game, right? Big noon kickoff is coming to this. The Pat McAfee show is coming to this. Joel Klatt is coming to Salt Lake for this game, right? This is the game of the week, right? So that is going to hype the team beyond belief. Where they're riding high off a huge victory, right? You got a top 10 team coming in, a team that beat you last year. So it's a revenge game. And
what was that score last year? Do you know?
20-17.
Okay.
So, It was, and so, you know, you finally figured it out on offense. Your defense is going, you know, is just continues to be absolute, you know, shutting it down. And, you know, here you have Oregon, which is probably the most balanced and balancedly great team in the conference. Like, say what you will about Washington, I think Oregon is the most balanced, right? They really don't have a place of weakness. And so the one thing you could say is that a lot of their stats might be inflated because their non-conference was pretty lackluster, you know? And so it's kind of hard to say. But again, you know, the team is going to be hyped. There's no way you look past this one. You just don't, you know? And game day's here, and you have it at home. Rice-Eccles is going to be nuts. You know, it's going to be complete pandemonium. Utah has the third highest home game winning streak in the country right now. And I think I can't bring myself to predict against them. I'm going to go. This is hard.
It is. All right.
You know what, Jason? I'm going to go with 35-31. I'm thinking it's going to end up similarly to the USC game where it was 34-32. I'm going to kind of even it out to make it all nice. Four game, you know, one score, 4 points. I'm going 35-31 Utah to stay alive in the Pac-12 championship hunt and beat the Ducks for one last time.
Yeah, this one's tough. Like I said, we'll find out if I'm jinxed or I just am completely lost with what a good football team looks like. I'm going to give Utah the win on this one, 32-28. Yep. That's what I'm saying. In 2 weeks, I'll see you when they lose. I mean,
we've now both predicted they'll win. So if they lose, neither of us get the point. So at that point, it doesn't matter.
Chasing points. I can't do it. All right.
Let's move on to BYU at West Virginia.
West Virginia's tough too because they were looking like kind of the surprise team of the Big 12. At West Virginia's tough place to play.
Yeah, and you're on the road 2 weeks in a row, both to teams that are a pretty long plane ride. So that's 2 weeks on the road against your more like pretty well distant opponents.
Which, like with BYU's schedule last year with the independent schedule, I don't think that's like as like big of a factor necessarily. I think they're pretty used to kind of going all over. Okay. I'm gonna say BYU wins. So you get a bounce back win, you get bowl eligible, 28-21 is what I'm going to say.
You know, Jason, I think the travel will be a little bit worse, but I think West Virginia is a team that was really good early on, but as the season has progressed, I think they've gotten worse. They are a team on the decline. Right, and so I think from what I've seen so far, I think BYU can get bowl eligibility with this game, and I'm gonna go 27. I'm gonna kind of mimic how Texas Tech went. I'm gonna go 27-17. Two score game, but you know, not necessarily a walk away.
Cool.
Right, tough competition.
Yeah,
on the road, and then. For Arizona State, when you play back-to-back big games, whether you win or lose them, there's going to be a fall, right? I'm not going to predict that Utah loses to Arizona State. Arizona State's a really bad team. Again, it's in Rice-Eccles. I'm not going to pick against them at home. But I am going to pick that this is a game that Arizona State hangs around longer than they should. So I'm going to go a low-scoring game. I'm going to go 21 to 16. Maybe that's not too low scoring, but I'm going to go a little bit more lower scoring than what we've seen the past couple weeks from Utah. Again, they hang around there just a little bit too long. One, maybe kind of two score game to end it. I'm going 21-16.
We're going to be arguing point spread again. I'm saying this is a win as well. I wanted to go the pesky route, but I'm just like, man, this week I'm going against what my gut would normally say. I'm just throwing numbers out now, man. If you win, I think if you win at USC, you win against Oregon, you put Arizona State away at home fairly easily. So I'm saying 31-18.
Okay. So see, now we're not kind of sharing a lot of the same scores. Utah, Oregon, yes, but pretty much everywhere else, there's a difference here. There is a difference in spread.
The season will be made or breaked for me. Honestly, it could happen this week.
It really could happen. I mean, just watch. BYU will beat Texas,
yeah,
but then lose to West Virginia,
which would be the most BYU thing ever to do. By the way,
oh yeah.
Oh man.
Although you guys have had Texas's number in the past, you guys have been played pretty well against Texas, so don't count yourself out completely.
You know, I probably wouldn't, but I think like some of the Texas teams in the past have just kind of had, they've been a little soft, like just mentally, yeah, and physically, like the Texas is back sort of memes and jokes, I think, kind of have spawned from the Texases of the past. But man, seeing them go and beat Alabama and just kind of the physicality and stuff, they're ready, you know, for the SEC. Texas,
yes,
is such a great recruiting hotbed.
Hub. Yeah,
I guess we didn't mention they will be without their starting quarterback,
Quinn Ewers,
and it is not going to be the Manning kid that is the backup. So you're getting another freshman first start as a starting quarterback.
He's a redshirt freshman though, right?
Yeah.
He's not the true freshman, yeah, like Arch Manning. He's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
so
I think his name is Malik something.
Kind of another wild card quarterback. Three straight games now that BYU's going to have to game plan around nothing. So I don't know. Yeah. It could be interesting. I mean, hope upon hope, but this Texas team's legit. Like I genuinely.
Yeah. Oh no, they are.
They have a shot at the title.
Bama,
so
yeah, you beat Bama. And yeah, you're legit.
Well, and I know we're pushing an hour here, but that's just kind of another interesting / fun aspect of this game. Like, I've always wondered, you know, where does BYU stack versus Alabama? We were really close to playing. I think they had the game scheduled for 2020, and then it just fell through during that COVID year. It didn't happen. Which would have been fun. Oh, it would have been so fun to see that 2020 BYU squad versus Alabama. So it's always, I don't know, it's always fun to see, you know, where you're at compared to one of the dynasty programs of college football over the last decade. So I'm excited. It'll be good even if we get killed. It's football.
You know, some games are just really fun because they're played. You know, I know we're pushing on time, but I just want to piggyback off on that. You know, like this time, these 2 years that BYU and Utah are not playing, it's really made me appreciate the rivalry. And I'm so thrilled that come next year, not only will we get it back, but it will be in a conference game like it was meant to. And I mean, let's be honest, it'll be the premier rivalry game of the conference.
Yep.
Once again. And so, you know, it just, some games are great because they're played, not because of the outcome necessarily. You know, you want your team to win, but sometimes you're just happy to be there.
Well, and that, you know? even through that, you know, massive winning streak, Seven of the nine games were decided by a score,
yeah, one score,
yeah. Or less, and yeah. Every single one of those games had some insane moments, had some disappointment, you know, obviously for the BYU side of things, but it was still fun, and it's why you play, man. So
it's the reason for college football.
Yep.
And you know, Jason, I think I know the reason why we've gone so long today. It's just the things we've covered here today really just goes to show why you and I love college football. You know, it just, I mean, big matchups coming up, some important marquee wins that just occurred, reviewing, you know, the players and the moments that that we've been able to watch this season. College football's great, man, and I love it. I'm sad that we're two-thirds of the way done.
Well,
you know, it's sad.
And, like, it's fun because just, I mean, to be honest, do me and Jake, like, know the intricacies of a cover three and you know, why that specific play didn't work? Not at all. Like, I couldn't tell you the X's and O's side of things.
Nope.
But it is fun that, like, you know, two guys who didn't play who... you know, have a pretty loose understanding of the nitty gritty of football can sit here and talk about it for an hour. I mean, that's what makes college football. So thanks for listening. If you made it this far, as usual, like and subscribe. I mean,
leave us some comments, please. We love to talk about your stuff rather than our own.
Right. Then you don't hear us go off for like an hour. Well, seriously, guys, thanks. Thanks again. Hope you have another blessed 2 weeks of college football and, we'll see where the state of the teams are, in 2 weeks, big 2 weeks. So, thanks again, everyone. We will catch you in the next one.
Go Utes!
Go Cougs!
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.